views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:05 here on the 16th of February, 2022. And our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Jared's at the helm.
Good morning.
Howdy.
Howdy.
What day is it today? What national day is it?
National Almond Day.
Well, it depends on where you're from. It could be almond, not almond. Ammon. It's Ammon Day.
Okay, I'm from California, so I'm going to go with almond.
I think they're almonds while they're on the tree. And then they automatically just change to almonds when they're in a bag. Okay, I'm just making that up. Okay.
The weather?
Well, thank you.
You want to know the weather?
Yes.
All right. It's currently 43 degrees. Today is going to be sunny, mostly clear, with a high of 70, a low of 44. Tomorrow, sunny, partly cloudy Thursday night, with a high of 74, a low of 43. Friday, mostly sunny, high of 75, a low of 43. Saturday, sunny, mostly clear, with a high of 74, a low of 43. And looks like Sunday, we have a slight chance of rain after 11 a.m. It's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 65 and a low of 37.
Okay. Thank you very much. And the weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. All the propane comes out of one big tank, so the difference is the customer service. Shasta Gas Propane scores 100% there. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They think of their customers as friends, and what could be better than that. 365-3793 is their phone number. Well, you know, I have a variety of guests on. I mean, 5,000 guests. Linda and I have had like 5,000 guests over the last 12 years. And you say, well, how do you know that, Carl? Well, it's easy. I'm in here 5 days a week, average two guests a day, and they're all not, you know, individual guests, different guests. You know, people are over and over again. You know, shares. Police, politicians, certain businesses. But it comes out to 5,000. How? Two a day. So that's 10 a week times 4 weeks, 40 guests in a month. And how many months is that?
12.
So 40 times 12 is over 400.
Yep.
So if you figure 400 times 10, and we're going in our 12th year, that's 4,000 plus another year. So it's close to 5,000. All right. And I'm just counting two guests. A lot of times we'll have, like, singing groups in here. We'll have, yeah, it'll be days that we don't, but when I have a guest, it'll be two of them or three of them, but not today.
No.
And so with all the different shows we put on and we try to bring in, this is, you know, this is what we tried to do, wanted to do when we started our station, bring in people from all looks of life. And, you know, Susan Wilson, Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, Dr. Doug Craig, we've had Black Lives Matter. I mean, just have everybody. We've had the militia on and all this. Well, we're starting this new thing on Wednesdays at 7. And we're going to have, I guess you could call it the conservative hour. Is that okay, Doug?
That works for me.
That's right. And did anybody tell you look like Bruce Ross?
I have been told I look like a lot of people, well, Gary Busey, but Bruce Ross I could have
see. I can't see Gary Busey because, you know, he destroyed himself.
Yes, he did.
But
I'm the pre-drug Gary Busey.
Okay. But you look like, to me, you two could be related. Let me put it that way. Okay? Your hair is even the same. I mean,
you know, today I got, didn't get up and comb it, so it is what it is. I did special hair for you.
Okay. And so I'm here with Doug Jenke. And Doug is a Reading citizen, but tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, you're known around town here.
Well, you know, I moved here in 1998 from Holland in Europe, where I was playing professional baseball. And
oh, come on.
Yeah. I traveled the world playing professional baseball for 12 seasons. I played 4 in Canada, 2 in Australia, and 6 in Europe.
And now, I never knew that. When you said you were, you know, moved here from, what, the Netherlands?
The Netherlands.
Well, see, I've been in the Netherlands, and people speak English there, at least the ones I ran into, unless they were Americans that I didn't know it. They speak English very well.
Well, you know, the Dutch are kind of a unique people. They're surrounded by 5 countries. They got English, French, the Germans. Go a little north, they've got Danish, and because they're just very smart people as a rule, most Dutch speak 4 languages and some speak 5. And I was lucky that I got to go play baseball over there because the reality is they do speak English. But I did learn the Dutch language, and it's like a throat disease. A lot of and the reason for that is one of the things that just really irritates me is when people come to this country and they live here for years. And, I mean, I know people. I've dealt with them. I've sold houses to them, and they've lived here for 20 years, and they fake like they don't know any English. If you're going to live in a country, learn the language. And so by the second year I was living in Holland, I was reading the newspaper.
You were walking the walk.
I was walking the walk. And, you know, what's funny is when you learn the language, it opens up a whole different world to you. So,
oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I moved here in 98, got my real estate actually 97, got my real estate license in March of 98. And I've been doing real estate for 23 years, had my own company for 16 for sell by owner real estate. Now I work at EXP and have been past president of the association, and so I've been
EXP.
EXP. It's a It's becoming an international brand. When my company, when the old shamdemic started here, my company was one of the first victims. You know, we were operating on razor margins with high overhead, and we were told we were non-essential. And I just said, I'm not fighting that fight anymore. So I went over to EXP and shut my shop, and it's been a great transition.
Okay.
Great transition. So I've been involved. I've sold over 1,000 homes in 23 years. So I've got to meet a lot of people coming to and leaving our county.
Okay. I'm not going to get into the real estate.
Nope.
Because we have people here on our station that do that.
Perfect.
Better than me. Now, you made a statement.
Please.
That if people are in our country.
Yes.
And they've immigrated to our country, they should speak English.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you on this one. I'm sure we'll find something down that, you know, we can talk back and forth.
Sure. But
to me, if you immigrate, not migrate, if you immigrate to our country and you become a citizen or a green card, there's something when you're a citizen, everything is supposedly in English.
Yeah.
And yet we print 24 to 28 different vote in 24, I don't know, 24, 28, it could be more now, voting packages in different languages.
Well, one of the things that I was kind of
and
proud of.
And I don't understand that.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things I was very proud of is when I was in Holland, and like I said, by my second year, I started learning the language. Because I was a resident in Rotterdam, I was allowed to vote in their local elections. And so, you know, I have an American accent. I'm not a Dutch person. And the went to get the package of stuff that we would go through, and they'd ask if I wanted it in English, and I'd say, no, I want it in Dutch. And it was really cool because, you know, I didn't expect them to do anything special for me. I learned their language. It was a tough language to learn. And,
oh, yeah.
And I was going
to. It's not one of the Romance languages.
No. No, it's not. I mean, when you first get there, it's just background chatter. You can't figure it out.
Well, you know.
And they do numbers really weird, Carl. They don't do 21. They do 1 and 20, 2 and 20, 3 and 20. So it took me forever to figure out how to actually count in Dutch.
But then you try to explain to them 2, 2, and 2.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the fact, well, let's just jump into that one right away.
Sure.
The border.
Yes.
I have a real problem with the border. You know, to me, the government, and I think I'm more of a constitutionalist than many people, but not as much maybe as other people. I don't know. I don't try to judge myself on that. But to me, the government should do like 2 things. Protect us. Well, 3 things. Infrastructure and keeping our borders safe.
Yes.
And I am so disappointed in both parties about this.
Well, you know, what's funny is there's things on Trump that I look back now and go, why did he do that? Why did he keep so many Obama holders? Blah, blah, blah. But you got to give the guy credit. He pushed through, pushed getting the wall as hard and secure as he could. Immigration was way down. And I speak from experience. My wife and I had to go through the immigration process. It took us a year going through the Amsterdam consulate. So I can speak as somebody who has a green card wife, and it's a process. When we got interviews.
So you met your wife there?
Oh, yeah. She
picked me up. I didn't get that part, but now I just did.
Yeah, well, she picked me up in a bar. I mean, she was drunk. I mean, here we are 25 years later. but no, I mean, so we had to go through the process.
What's your wife's name?
Elizabeth. Elizabeth, actually.
Elizabeth. Did you just hear what he said? It just was sent to people, probably your family back in the Netherlands, and it's going to be archived forever. So
she's out there forever, knowing that I was a bar find. So we went through the process. So I can speak as a white man in America who brought a foreigner to this country. We went through the process. We took our time. We paid the bills, and when she got a green card, we came to America. So. I look at that immigration much like you. You know, the Constitution allows the president to secure the borders, national defense, and as infrastructure, I think wasn't in the original plan, but
probably wasn't, but, you know.
But we have an open border, and, ICE has actually been catching, you know, Muslim terrorists, coming through there. I think they count, last time I saw it was like 18 known terrorists coming through there. I mean, literally, we've got an open border and getting like 2 million people in the last year. Just showing up in our country. That's not a country anymore. That's just a sieve.
I wholeheartedly agree on that. I think this is a great country. I know why they want to come. I know why everybody wants to come.
Yeah.
But I also had friends.
Yeah.
From England.
Yep.
Who'd worked for the United States government as, you know, as an exchange officer thing. Had the highest clearances. 4 years it took them to get over here. I mean, the green card. They had to go back to England, spend time there, go back through the process, they come back here, plus spending thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, to me, that whole system needs to be changed.
Well, I mean, I played...
To really be looked at.
Well, I played baseball in Canada for 4 seasons, so, I mean, if you know, Canada is America light, love the people, but... a Canadian trying to come into our country is an act of Congress. I mean, it is really hard for them to come here, and they're as close to American as you are going to get, yep. And yet southern border, they walk right across, are given health care, child care, income, driver's license, everything. It's like, wait a minute, that's wrong.
Yep.
That is wrong.
We got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by another great thing of America. Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms, locally owned, locally operated, started about the same time we did, and John Bastiani is just a great guy. This is where we buy our firearms at Bastiani Arms. Why? Great selection of firearms, all the accessories, ammo, great customer service, and he is a super gunsmith. And just let me throw in another reason. He gives veterans discounts. I can't say more than that. Located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll be right back with Doug Jenke.
Millions of older adults suffers injuries from a fall. 1 out of 5 falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria and are you're at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help. KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, their newest branch in Anderson at 2727 Ventura Street. Yeah, Ventura Street, the old Kentucky Fried Chicken. So don't go in there looking for the parts sink. It's not there anymore. They have three other branches. Of course, the main branch in Cobblestone Shopping Center, 1845 California Street, and one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way. Locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. They've been around 15 years, and they've been helping people move their dreams forward since the day they opened. Cornerstone Community Bank. I'm with Doug Jenke, and today, we were talking about what's going on with immigration. The sense of sanctuary cities. When people are running against LaMalfa and Dallies now, yeah. Democrats come in here. Now, some of them are extremely bright people. I mean, they all are. But one of them is like a water expert. She is. And she can talk about things and very likable and all that. But then when you get to three questions, do you believe in sanctuary cities? Yes. So what about the Second Amendment? Well, why do we need weapons of war? And what was the third? Somebody always will call in and say, "What are you pro-choice or pro-life?" And then it goes into the circle.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yep.
And as long as the North State is the North State, they have no chance.
Yeah. So, thank God.
Anyway, but going back at borders, we talk about sanctuary cities, sanctuary counties. Now, I think that everybody should come under the rule of law. Right. And when we don't do that, then why do we even have laws?
Well, that's what makes, a country is people adhering to the rule of law. And there are laws that specifically state that people here illegally are supposed to be deported, period. End of story. That's the black and white law. And liberals and Democrats have turned it into this, let's feel good about keeping these people here who are breaking the law, using our system, using our services, and not paying a penny into it. And they've turned it into this human compassion, as if conservatives are not compassionate. No, we're compassionate for citizens. What they do is they come to our country, they suck our country dry. End of story. That is a statement of fact. I mean, I think the state of California is going to spend $21 billion this year on illegal immigrants who didn't put any taxes into it.
But there are illegals, though, that do come here. And they, you know, and they work hard.
Oh, they're hardworking people. I'm not knocking them.
I know, and you're not knocking them. It's the fact of how they got here.
Exactly.
But they put in money via their payroll taxes and all this.
Well, a lot of them, and most of them, actually what they do is, when you do a little research, they find or they buy a deceased person's Social Security number, and why Social Security can't figure out the dead person's not paying taxes is yet another story. But they also expatriate billions upon billions of dollars back to their country that aren't going into our local economies. And so they are hardworking people. I'm not here to knock the quality of the person. I'm here to knock the way they got here.
Mm-hmm.
And the impact they're putting on our country is overwhelming. And under Sleepy Joe, Mr. Brandon, the damage they're going to do is going to be hard to reverse. I mean, Reagan started the whole problem by giving an amnesty because he thought that would cure the problem. Well, obviously, 30 years later.
You can't give amnesty unless you shut the border down.
That's it. Yeah. You can't sit there and go, you know, we're going to give amnesty if you show up with a certain thing. And another one that would be good, if they could stop doing the anchor babies. Because that's another thing that happens, is they are pregnant, they get here, they have the baby, now the baby is quote-unquote an American. And I can tell you, in Holland, that's not how it works.
Well, that's not the way it is in many countries.
Yeah.
In fact, I never could understand that. If you're on a visa or anything like that, okay. But I'm not even sure if visa is the right word. Green card.
Yep.
I mean, you're not a citizen yet, but you're working your way through there, and you have a baby. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. But, yeah, just coming here and having babies, and then they are automatically American citizens.
Yep.
I've never understood that.
No, and you know, that's the problem, is one of the bright spots of the liberal Democrats versus the bad spot of the Republicans is you got to give the liberal Democrats their due. They are committed. They say the same thing constantly over and over, and they don't break up. Republicans will get into a central, you know, a circular shooting squad, and this is an easy thing to bring up and say, listen, but as soon as they get a little flack from the left, let's back off of that subject. And it's like, no, you know, people who are paying the taxes, who go to work 40, 50 hours a week, we don't want to pay $21 billion to people who are not supporting the system and not doing it legally. Let's put it that way. I mean, yeah. I'm speaking for myself, but I guarantee you I pay enough in taxes that, and I rarely use any services. So it goes to people who spend it on things that I don't want them to spend, including immigration.
Doug, what's your definition of a conservative?
Well, this is easy. Actually, I've heard two now.
Okay.
The first one is my own, and it's, you know, I'm sure it meets what the criteria, but a conservative is a person who will make a law or rule which they themselves will abide by. A liberal is a person who puts a law or rule that others must abide by. To me, that is the biggest difference. But then I heard a guy say to me, he goes, well, you're missing something. I go, what's that? He goes, a conservative is someone who uses their brain. A liberal is someone who uses their heart. In other words, doesn't matter what the facts are to a liberal, they want to feel good about it. They want that compassion. A conservative is thinking, is it common sense? Does it make sense that we give unbridled immigration? Does it make sense that we disarm our population? Does it make sense that guys are girls, girls are guys? Does it make sense that guys can go into girls' bathrooms? To a conservative, none of those make sense. To a liberal, they turn it into a humanitarian, oh, we're just trying to help these people. So I think the heart and brain was actually a very good description. The conservative uses the brain, the liberal uses the heart.
And there's, you know what, and there should be somewhere in there a mixture. It should be that a law that's written needs to be obeyed, but there also needs to be safety nets in there. Right.
Well, I think that the brain part is still using the heart, because the Constitution, where the liberals have screwed the Constitution is they've turned it into a living document that they can bend at their whim. And the reality is the document itself, using the brain, because when you look back at how brilliant that group of individuals were, for a young group of men, I mean, when I was in my 30s, I was not thinking about changing the world. But they wrote laws for everybody to have the same opportunity, not the same result. So they wrote using their brain, hey, we're going to give, and of course back then, let's call the spade a spade. There was slavery and everything else, and we handled that. But if you were a person, you had the same opportunities, not the same results. And that's the difference, is I don't think that by the fact you use your brain doesn't mean you're using your heart. You're just saying, I'm going to play by the same rules as you, and what we put together, or what you put together, and if you're more successful than me, congrats.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I look at it. And I think that's the difference, is we get accused of not being a feeling or touching with our heart. The reality is, I think by setting rules that everybody has to play by that are fair is about as big a heart as you're going to get.
Okay. All right. I'm here with Doug Jenke. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wirst has been in this business for several decades, and nobody knows more about fixing windshields than Jeff Wirst. Whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length, Jeff can fix it, and he guarantees his work for life. That's right, for life. He doesn't take chances with your family's safety. If he can't fix that windshield, he will send you to a place that he trusts. But he can fix so many windshields. And you know, people with RVs, those large windshields, you get a chip in it. It's going to make you crazy. But second of all, it can spread all the way across there. Get it to Jeff. He'll fix it so it never gets any bigger than it is now. Bring your vehicle in for a free inspection and analysis at 3208 South Market Street, or give them a call at 241-8373 for an appointment. It's a veteran-owned business. We'll be right back.
The Sikh Cultural Education Center and SCAR, in partnership with Shasta Lake Chiropractic in the city of Shasta Lake, are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, February 18th, from 1:30 p.m. until 6:30 p.m. at Shasta Lake Chiropractic at 4221 Shasta Dam Boulevard. All COVID-19 vaccines, including Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, will be available, including boosters. No appointment needed. California's indoor mask requirement is ending this month for those who've been vaccinated, and all Shasta County residents ages 5 and up are now eligible to receive the vaccine. Kids 5 to 11 and youths 12 to 17 must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated at this free clinic in the city of Shasta Lake and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients. Multilingual translators will also be available at this free clinic at Shasta Lake Chiropractic at 4221 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Friday, February 18th from 1:30 p.m. until 6:30 p.m.
Attention, Wind River Resort and Casino guests. We have exciting news. Now open for your gaming pleasure is our new Lightning Link Lounge in Dragon's Den. Come discover the lucky legend of Dragon Link and Lightning Link in our new slot lounge with 58 of your favorite progressives. Just follow the lightning bolts to discover lightning fast jackpots. Our new Lightning Link Lounge in Dragon's Den. Open now. For more information, please visit windriver.com. Find your moment with us at Wind River Resort and Casino.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Welcome back. Welcome. I am now, but I wasn't when I was talking. That's why I took off my ears.
You kind of were. Just it was on audition, so everyone could hear you, but you couldn't hear yourself.
Well, if I can't hear me, nobody can hear me. It's just my perception.
Well, I'm in the room with you. I can hear you. So
okay,
at least one person.
Hey, I'm here with Doug Jenke, who is a conservative, and he's proud of it. And we talked about what is a conservative, and his Doug's definition is a man or a person,
person.
Not a man, but a person who thinks with their logic side of their brain, as opposed to a liberal who thinks with their emotional side of their brain.
Yep.
That's essentially it, right?
Yep. I think that sums it up as good as can be.
Let's go into what's happening around the in Shasta County. We're getting really negative press from everywhere. I've been interviewed 3 times, and in every time, it's we're armed, rebellion, that's going to end up in gunfire in the streets. And I've said, no, that's not what's going to happen. I said, that's just ridiculous. I said, I know people in the militia. They're not thinking of an armed takeover of anything. And then I talk about Redding and Shasta County being one of the most giving areas in the United States. And I said, there's just, you know, we take things seriously here, individual freedoms. And yet that never makes it into it. And then we get more into right-wing, reactionary rebellion. The fact is, when you live here, are we perfect? No. Were there things said that probably shouldn't have been said? Yes. But as far as going that far, it is so wrong.
Oh, it's completely wrong. I mean,
this is my opinion.
Well, and I get to do, I mean, Nick always tells me on Poke the Hornet's Nest, make sure you always use the word in my opinion. So in my opinion, or if we want to go, tech, OMI, or what is it? IMO or whatever the heck it is. I'm not sure which way it is either, because I've given up on all social media if possible. I have a little bit of Facebook just because people will text me something, but otherwise I'm done. But, you know, it's funny. That's what liberals do. They must vilify. I'm going to put it out there publicly. I'm a white guy. I'm not homophobic. I'm not sexophobic. I don't have a problem with immigrants. I pay my taxes, and I live my life. I am not one thing that I have been painted in. I'm not deplorable, and I think that that description would apply to 99% of all conservatives, being the race, being whatever, black, Asian or whatever, because obviously conservative goes across all bounds and genders. But they put out a narrative, and they have to do a vilification of our side and they will just continue to beat on that thing. And the reality is, Shasta County probably represents the Constitution better than any spot in the state of California. The right to bear arms. You know, we have our government problems, but we're not overwhelmed like San Francisco or LA or that area. And the media will focus on one comment one person says, and yet their side is a constant barrage of negativity, condensation, accusations. And that's given a skate, but one person here may say something X, and next thing you know, we're right-wing, Hitler-supporting militia people, and none of that's true. It's not even remotely in the possibility. We just believe in freedom and the Second Amendment, because if you watch what's going on in Australia, I lived when I was playing in baseball down in Australia, down in 1990 and 94. Right after I left 94, the government disarmed the population under the guise of, you know, we don't need guns. We don't do this. Well, I listened to an Australian radio station down from Brisbane, and almost daily there are shootings down in an unarmed country. Same thing in Holland. It's because the people who have the guns are the criminals, and our founding fathers realized that an armed populace is a safe populace. And, Carl, do you know which is the most well-armed country per capita in the entire world?
I think it's like Sweden or Switzerland.
Switzerland, yeah. Yes. Switzerland is the most well-armed, and they have virtually no gun violence whatsoever. So it's not the gun.
Oh, no. It's never been the gun.
No, it's never been the gun. But that's what they try to turn it into is, you know, do you, like you said, you were talking to this lady, and you said, what about the Second Amendment? Well, why do you need weapons of war? Because governments are bad people sometimes. and sometimes you're out shopping and there's bad people around you.
Well, I teach, as people know, I teach the concealed carry.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be 6-7 years ago. It was, why do you want to have a concealed carry permit? It's my right under, you know, and I want to protect my family. But it was my right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say, I haven't heard that answer in years.
Yep.
Now it's protection
yep.
of my family. And if you look at the American people, at the amount of firearms they've bought over the last 2 years, 3 years, I mean, every year it sets a new record for the amount of people that are out buying firearms.
Well, the best marketing tool ever for the gun industry was Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
He created more demand than ever, and they tried to hoard the ammunition, but the gun sales were crazy. And then the last 2 years, here we are again. And the funny thing is, the liberal media paints gun owners as these outrageous gun-toting. We walk around in our house with slings on, and we've got our holster. Newsflash, liberals, it's not conservatives that are buying all those guns themselves. You guys are arming up as well because you don't like the way the country is. You don't like the fact you're downtown Reading and you see 5 homeless people, and you might have to get out of your car. And the sense of – and God bless our police, but they're overwhelmed. They're understaffed. They have no support in the criminal justice system. And we're better off here than they are in San Francisco. I mean, everybody's heard that story about New York where the guy went in and killed the Asian lady. He had been arrested 40 times. And people hear that, and they realize that you call the 911, it may be 10 or 15 minutes before somebody's there. What are you going to tell the perp, Carl? Hang tight. They're on their way.
I will tell you that every sheriff that we've had on here, we've had them all,
yep.
and every chief of police, they all say the same thing. They are strong advocates of the Second Amendment, and they think people should be armed. Because
yep.
even they've got, even though the response times are down to like 8 minutes now, for the police.
That's still 8 minutes when you're one-on-one with a perp.
Absolutely. And that's the point.
Yeah.
And if you're out in the county,
oops.
It could be an hour.
Yep.
Maybe more. So, yes, being able to defend yourself is one of the big things. I think it was Tojo said, or Yamamoto, said in World War II, invading America, he says, there is a gun behind every blade of grass.
Yep.
And we're not going down.
Yep.
So, I'm strongly for the Second Amendment. Now, on the other hand, but I also believe there's people that should never have a gun. That's why, when they do the background check, some people are upset about that. Well, they catch felons on this. They catch all types of things like this. But it still comes down with a gun to the individual owner to keep that gun from the hands of children, felons and mentally disturbed people.
Well, and you know what's funny, Carl, is I didn't care about guns. I'm not a hunter. I didn't grow up around guns. My family was very poor. We were homeless twice, lived in a car. So I was not a gun guy. And then the last 2 years of Mr. Obama's term, I saw America turning. And it wasn't turning well. Old Hillary was on her way in, the shoe in. And I just saw the hatred in America getting there. And I won a gun at an event and started getting vested into what is gun ownership. What do? You know, go train, go practice, go shoot. And I have my CCW just like you. And one of the things that I've been able to research and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt is, did you know that CCW holders are the most honest citizens in the United States?
Oh, yeah.
They're more honest per capita than police are.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you're going to restrict people who are trying to apply and go through the process to be background checked, to be fingerprinted, and restrict their ability to carry a gun is just stupid. They're the most honest people that are trying not to break the law.
No, I thoroughly agree with that. And I think of the 12,000 or close to 12,000 CCW permits in Shasta County, none of them. None of them have ever lost their CCW because of an incident with a gun.
Well, we are Switzerland, to be honest with you. Yeah. That tells you the thing. We are the most well-armed populace in the state of California, and there's no rampant gun violence here.
No, there isn't. Okay, I'm with Doug Jenke, who a well-known gentleman of the conservative bent. Like he says, he thinks on the logical side of his head. We're going to be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Estate Granite and Mike Huber. Mike Huber has been doing this business of redesigning your kitchen, your bathroom, other rooms in your house, outside areas in your house for over 20 years. He is a vocal local supporter of business and of doing the right things. He supports nonprofits, and he just does, can I say, perfect work. Perfect for us. He came in and did our kitchen, and we literally left for 3 days so he could just have, you know, he just could have open access to our house and do the kitchen, and it was beautiful when we came back. And this is a guy you can trust. He's going to do the right job for you. And he works by appointments only because, as you can imagine, he is pretty busy. So give him a call at 241-STONE or check out his website at estategranite.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a tap house rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House Pizza, Pasta, Grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
Aloha. This is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Good morning, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 43 degrees out there, it's going to be a beautiful day, 7:51 in the morning here on the 16th of February, 2022. This portion of the show brought to you by Full Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Redding. These are great people down there with a super selection of jewelry at very fair prices, including if you want to go down and design your own piece, they're there to help you and they'll build it for you. All at Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. I'm with Doug Jenke, a conservative and proud of it.
Damn straight.
And where do you see Shasta County going? And now that we've had the recall, which was a huge success.
Yes.
If you look at the numbers, it's 12% of the voters. Well, the margin was 12%.
Yeah. Which politics is overwhelming.
I mean, that is overwhelming.
Yeah.
That wanted a change.
Yes.
And then and it appears that Tim Garman is going to be the next supervisor, according to the latest out of Kathy Darling Allen's office.
Yeah.
So, Leonard Modi has not been to the last two meetings. And they went to a 2-2 vote, I guess yesterday, about the mandates. And he'll take over in that first week in March.
Yep.
It looks like. Tim will be on next Thursday. So we'll be able to pick at his brain a little bit. But what do you see, or what would you like to see as a conservative?
First thing I want to see is I want them to get rid of every single mandate, period. It's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt none of it works. I think it was John Hopkins just came out with a study 2 weeks ago that said the difference between masked societies and unmasked societies and all that crap was 0.002%. So basically, on a graph, that's...
did no good.
It did nothing. And
no, we talked about that. I mean, that was an explosive report.
Yeah, and so that proves that masking and wearing face diapers is pointless and useless, and I really get irritated, even though I shouldn't, when I see people in their own cars with their windows rolled up wearing masks, and I'm just like, who are you protecting yourself from? But that's the first thing I would do because, you know, Carl, the thing that I think is the most tragic is and I'm very vocal about it. I call it the shamdemic because when you do all the numbers, you realize it really wasn't all that bad, but we sure inflicted a lot of pain. But what we did to our kids, what we did to our
collateral damage.
The collateral damage to those kids, they think now they've been brainwashed to think that wearing a mask and not giving hugs and staying away from your is normal. And that's absolutely the complete opposite of being human. So that's the first thing I hope they do. And then the second thing I do, I want them to draw or bring that health person, the head of the health department to the board and tell her she needs to start reporting accurate numbers. The CDC, which I call the Communist Disinformation Center, came out 3 weeks ago and admitted. Now, if they're admitting it, you know the number's higher. But they admitted that at least 75% of all COVID-attributed deaths were not due to COVID. They were people who died with COVID. And that's a gigantic difference, okay? And then they said on the same report, CDC, and I do not trust them, but liberals do, that most of those people died with between 3 to 5 comorbidities. So that tells you right there and there. So let's just go and pick a middle number between 75 and 100 and say 90% of COVID-attributed deaths were not because of COVID, but they died with COVID. Old Sleepy Joe came out and said 2 weeks ago or a week ago that we could cross 900,000 deaths. No, we didn't. If we use the CDC's own numbers from their scientists, take 90% away, that means we've had about 90,000 deaths over the course of 2 years. Break that into each year, it's about 50,000 people have died, quote-unquote, from COVID. Did you know in 2018-19, the winter thereof, there was 90,000 flu deaths? And yet, and that's CDC numbers again, so I'm not pulling these out of some right-wing conspiracy, so those are CDC numbers. So I would like to see them stop all the mandates and then force the health lady to get up there and start reporting how many people are dying with comorbidities. Are they dying with COVID? Because it just drives me crazy to watch our news. And today there's 300 new cases and there's 10 new deaths. No, there's not. There's people who died with COVID, not because of COVID.
Well, let me throw the other side here.
Please.
I had the doctor on that was the very first 4 deaths we had, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that was their doctor.
Yeah.
He says, yes, they had underlying conditions, but COVID killed them. They would be alive today if it wasn't for COVID. Yes, you have the underlying conditions, which exasperates it tremendously, depending on, you know, what it is. But it did kill them.
Well, and the thing is, no, it didn't. Here's why. The flu kills. I mean, in 2018, CDC, 90,000 people. What it is, it's the bacterial pneumonia that settles into their lungs and overwhelms their body. So that part is true. But the thing that really threw me early on into this was there was doctors from around the world, Australia, Europe, America, saying ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc was working. And the first thing, and this is where, again, Trump, I lost some faith in him, is he let the medical community take away what might have been the biggest tool or tools in saving people and made it that if a doctor used it, they could lose their licenses and the whole works. And so I'm not doubting what the doctor is saying. I'm just saying they didn't die because of COVID. If they had gotten the flu, the outcome might have been exactly the same. Because if you do a little research, Carl, long-term effects from severe flu are identical to long-term effects of COVID. You know, headaches, loss of energy, fatigue, can take a very long time, sense of taste, sense of smell. Those are all the same things. Now, COVID is a very nasty disease, so I don't want to make anybody think that I'm saying it's not. That's not what I'm saying. But when you break it down, if we go by the numbers that we're given, it had half as many deaths the last 2 years as the flu did in 18 and 19. And that's CDC numbers. So this is not some right-wing, you know, pull it out of Trump's .com. This is from the CDC's own numbers.
Well, I think that I'm going to give you last thoughts here.
Sure.
Because to me, the Democrats are reaping the whirlwind that they did when Trump went into warp speed to get the vaccines,
mm-hmm.
and saying all these things about them, and then they inherited that afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another, but see, this is another way of dividing our country. Vaccinated unvaccinated. If you're unvaccinated, you must hate the other group, et cetera, et cetera. But I got a minute left. You got it.
Well, I look at that, Carl, as calling the herd, as they say, is if you're going to go to war, you need to know who your enemies are. And the vaccine has now been proven to be pretty much 100% ineffective all around the world. But yet, you're right. They're still going down the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. And it's a way to separate society on a two-level process. And it is a shame that our country is at the point we are Civil War-esque in our mentality.
Okay, Doug, I tell you what. I can argue with you about that one. So I'm going to invite you back for the third Wednesday of next month.
I will be here.
And we will start out with that, okay, about the effectiveness of vaccine.
Yes.
For this. Is it the perfect vaccine? Absolutely not. But let's talk about that when you come back next month.
I can do that.
Thanks, Doug, a lot for being here with us, Doug Jenke. Hey, when we return after the news, we've got Sheriff Mike Johnson.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Rejecting former President Trump's claim of executive privilege, President Biden has ordered the release of Trump White House visitor logs to the Democrat-controlled House panel investigating the U.S. Capitol riot. There's been some talk of hitting the pause button on the federal gas tax.
Some Democratic senators are calling for suspending the federal gas tax for the remainder of the year to help consumers struggling with rising fuel prices. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked if the president is on board.
I have nothing to predict for you at this point, but all options remain on the table.
However, several key lawmakers in both political parties oppose the plan. The federal gas tax has been 18.4 cents per gallon since 1993. Greg Clugston, the White House.
The NATO chief says, at least in this case, you can't believe your eyes.
The Russian Defense Ministry has released a video showing a trainload of armored vehicles moving across a bridge away from Crimea, the Black Sea Peninsula that Russia annexed from Ukraine in 2014. A day earlier, the ministry reported the start of a pullback of troops following military exercises near Ukraine. But Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has thrown cold water on those statements. Russia has amassed about 150,000 troops east, north and south of Ukraine, sparking Western concerns it's planning an attack. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Three San Francisco school board members have been recalled by the voters. Critics had accused them of misplaced priorities like the renaming of more than 40 schools, putting progressive politics ahead of the needs of children in the midst of a pandemic. Watching Wall Street, stocks deep in the red so far this morning. Right now, the Dow down 254 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index is off 146 points, and the S&P is down 31. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Your pets have the same energy they used to? Do they have problems with itching, scratching, a dull coat, or goopy ears? Then your pets need Dinovite.
Dinovite.com.
For over 20 years, pet owners have trusted Dinovite to supplement their pets' diet.
We started Dinovite and in our first box, we noticed a difference.
Dinovite is an all-natural daily supplement made from whole foods that helps support your pet's immune system, digestion, skin, and coat.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Today's commercial pet foods are processed at high temperatures, which bakes out all the essential goodness. These processed foods can lack the essential vitamins, enzymes, and probiotics that contribute to overall good health. Adding a scoop of Dinovite to your pet's food bowl is the answer.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
I have two cats and two dogs. All four of them are on the Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Dinovite.com.
Human Rights Watch is accusing rebel fighters in Ethiopia's embattled Tigray region of wartime atrocities, including the slaughter of innocent civilians.
In the northeastern Amhara town of Kobo, Amnesty claims that Tigrayan forces killed unarmed civilians in an apparent retaliation for resistance from local fighters. Elsewhere, in a village called Chana, rebels sexually assaulted at least 30 women and girls as young as 14. Public properties, including schools and medical facilities, were either looted or vandalized. The Tigrayan People's Liberation Front has not responded to the latest accusations and has previously denied similar allegations of the deliberate targeting of civilians.
The BBC's Calcadan Ibotel. France hosting a summit devoted to fighting against Islamic extremists in West Africa as Paris considers withdrawing its troops from Mali while maintaining military operations in the broader Sahel region. News and analysis, townhall.com. General Motors is set to start making the all-electric Chevy Bolt once again.
GM will resume production in early April after an eight-month pause due to a series of battery fire recalls. The automaker says that battery supplier LG Energy Solution is now making enough to supply replacement modules for the recalls, as well as to resume production. The company will start making hatchback and SUV versions of the Bolt on April 4th, and those should start reaching dealers a few weeks later. Keith Peters reporting.
COVID may be fading in the U.S., but that's not stopping the Biden administration from seeking billions of dollars more to fight the pandemic. The AP reports the administration asking Congress for another $30 billion as the number of COVID cases in the U.S. continues to decline. Once again on Wall Street this hour, the Dow down 242 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on Wednesday, the 16th of February, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassionate, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, what's the weather look like, Jared?
It is currently 45 degrees. Today it's going to be sunny with a high of 70, a low of 44. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 74, a low of 43. Friday, sunny, high of 75, a low of 43. Saturday, sunny with a high of 74, a low of 43. On Sunday, a slight chance of rain after 10 a.m., mostly sunny with a high near 65 and a low around 37. And Monday, high around 61 and a low of 37.
And a slight chance of rain. Ooh, ooh, rah. Okay, hey, weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. It's a locally-owned business out of Anderson. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Okay, I'm pushing through here because we have Sheriff Mike Johnson. He has to leave at 8:30.
Yeah, good morning. Sorry about that,
so
Carl.
I've got 30 minutes to find out everything that's gone on in a month. So let's talk marijuana.
Marijuana. I'll give you a marijuana update because, you know, we've been pushing hard on that venue and that front since I was appointed, and we haven't stopped. And we've been doing those operations with only one guy, really, on overtime basis coordinating these things. So our numbers are they are what they are. And when we get a unit of 4 to 5 full-time people here come June, I hope that these numbers will be way up from that. To date, since we started, we have 24 cases, 19,134 plants have been eradicated, 2,975 pounds of processed bud, 1,996 pounds of shake, $56,800 in cash seized, 19 firearms and 6 arrests. Not bad for one guy running amok and...
I hope he becomes employee of the month or something there.
Yeah, doing pretty good. And like I said, those are good numbers, impressive numbers, but we don't even have a full-time marijuana.
You said something about 5 to 6 people on it this summer.
Yeah, that's probably 5 would probably be the most we'd get if I get that many. But
Do they come from?
Well, I have to get budgeted for a marijuana unit. I'm not budgeted for a marijuana unit. And they come from internally, right? I told you preached on the hiring thing and how that was a problem for a long time. We've got about 7 deputies in background now. A couple will be starting here the 1st of March, and we'll stagger the starts.
Wow, that's great, though.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, I noticed that Reading Police are also able to recruit also.
Yeah,
and
they're doing good
so
as well.
Something's going on that's right.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I'd like to say we're doing something right, but
the
pieces are falling together.
It must be something that's going on that's right. People want to protect and serve.
Reading had it first, and now we have a hiring incentive program, too. So that has definitely helped attract some people. You know, you throw cash at them, and they'll come.
Well, you know what? It makes a difference.
Yep, sure does.
I hate to say that, but it's
today's market.
Today's market.
It's competitive like that. So
well, military is doing the same thing. There's a lot of money out there to join the military or to stay in. Lots of money.
Yep, that's what we have to do these days.
Okay, well, that's a good start.
Yeah, so let me tell you something else about the upcoming marijuana unit when we get that in place. We also just invested in some drones and a drone program, put a policy in place. We've tested and got some UAV pilots out of our staff that are going to be running that program, and we've got their training set up. So now instead of having to fly fixed wing or helicopters mm-hmm. to spot grows all the time, we can fly drones.
Well, first of all, it's probably like 10% of the cost.
Exactly.
And you can fly them just as well, and you can get, probably your cameras are even better.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good use of money, and that it'll be a not only used for marijuana operations, but search and rescue operations for other patrol operations where we have fleeing felons and stuff. So it'll be across the board, but it's really being born out of this marijuana effort. So it's going to be a nice addition to the department and for the community as a whole.
The legalization of marijuana, which is supposed to be the panacea to everything.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, right? So my take on that, or my assessment of that, Carl, is if all the states together collectively would have legalized it, kind of like prohibition, then I don't think you would still be seeing the major problems we're having. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a pro-legalized marijuana guy, but since they did that, we have some states that are legal to grow and some that are illegal. So you still have a huge black market out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that grow under their auspice of, legal grow or hemp are still growing the same marijuana bud and shipping it out of state and tripling their money. So it hasn't helped the problem.
Well, they're saying one of the problems is, you're taxing it so much. Well, that was the idea, was if you're going to sell marijuana, then you need to be taxed on it. And they've got, in the black market, they don't get taxed.
Yeah, exactly.
So
the guys that are doing it legally, that even the commercial legal grows, they're paying high taxes, but that's part of owning a business, and that's part of the whole deal. And we're not pushing on those guys at all. We're after these big, large cartel grows and illegal grows.
No. And are the cartels taking over?
Well, I wouldn't say they're taking over, but they're definitely a fixed presence right now in the marijuana industry. So we need to push them out, that's for sure.
Okay.
My goal is to take our county back first. I mean, we'll also be a good partner with our North State counties and help out where they need it. But really, we got to start here in our own backyard and start eradicating more here and pushing them out of here.
Do you go by the size of the grow, or if it's on private property and somebody says something to you, or what?
No, there's several factors that we use to prioritize. I'll tell you, my first and foremost factor in prioritizing grows right now is their proximity to these small rural communities and the pressure and intimidation they're doing and to those communities. So a smaller grow like that, when I say smaller, a few thousand plants or something, will take priority over a much larger grow, like maybe 5,000 or 7,000 plants that's in a canyon out in the middle of SPI property or Forest Service property where it's not bothering anybody. Now, we will go after those big ones too, but the ones where they're affecting, like Shingletown's a perfect example. They're
I go,
you get grows in there and they start riding around the back of the beds of truck with semi-automatic weapons and intimidating neighbors, and those are the ones we want to get rid of first.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
recruiting's up.
Recruiting's going very well. Yeah, I'm super happy about that. That's on both sides of the fence as far as patrol and in the jail. We've got people pending in backgrounds right now and in line. And my next problem becomes is my field training officers. I don't have enough field training officers to keep up with the influx of guys that are coming in now, so we're having to kind of stagger them out.
How many do you lose a month from retirements or medical or something?
Yeah, it's hard to gauge because it kind of ebbs and flows on that. You know, it's feast or famine. But I'd say if I had to average, at least a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which,
Well, that happens. They've termed out, might say.
Yeah,
they've reached their shelf life.
And that's really attrition. There's others that, go to another agency or move on or go out with an injury or other things as well. So it's a constant battle to keep up. But if you can get up to close to staff at least, and then stay on top of it. You don't fall behind the eight ball, but we were down quite a bit, as most agencies and businesses were.
You hit the ground running when you started, and that first thing you did was you went after that a couple of big crows out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a quick break and then shift to our local crime or and crime in the county and trends you're seeing or I always ask this about violence, but I'll wait till I get back.
Okay.
This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. With all the things going on differently in our world, and especially financially, if you want a second opinion on a retirement plan or a 401k, give Judy Maxwell a call at 221-0441 for a free review and evaluation. Judy is an expert here. She has got trained professionals, and she has broken her business into both insurance and financial branches there. So you've got, that's all they do is work on financial advice. And like I said, give her a call at 221-0441. She's been doing this since 1993. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back with Sheriff Mike Johnson.
Oh, who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
Aloha. This is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260. or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee.
We're ready. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. I'm here with Mike Johnson, Sheriff of Shasta County, and
hey, Carl, before you move on, can I get a plug in real quick?
Sure.
First of all, thanks to the chat room reading the comments there. I really appreciate that. I just want to give a plug in. The reason I'm having to leave you folks early, I misscheduled something, too much overlap. I've got five promotions going on today in the sheriff's office. Really proud, promoting a patrol captain, two patrol lieutenants, a jail lieutenant, and a patrol sergeant today, all going on at Shasta Lake City here at 9, so I have to cut out early and get there in time.
So
thank you.
10 minutes.
Congratulations to those guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People like to be recognized.
Yeah.
The jail. Well, let's talk violence quick first. More violence? Or is it just, I just seem to be reading it, people not in the drug trade.
Yeah.
Being attacked.
You know what, Carl? I don't know if I would say there's more violence. I'd say it's getting to be more serious violence. Yeah, I mean, we're having the number of cases, I don't think, is really like skyrocketing, but the types of crimes and the aggravated assault and just pure brazen attacks on people, I think there is an uptick on that. And it's definitely concerning, you know, as a society, and especially in this state, we've gone soft on that for so long and turned all these guys loose in all these communities and filled up our jails, housing state prisoners. In the jail right now, Carl, I have over 100 prisoners that have been convicted, sentenced, and are ready to go to prison, but the prisons keep shutting down, taking in people because of COVID. So I'm having to house these guys while I'm waiting for the state to take these prisoners back from me. And that creates two huge problems for us. One is bed space, obviously, right? We've been fighting that one for how many years? So now I've got over 100 beds that are committed that I could have for local criminals that I'm having to use for the state criminals. And then the other problem is, you know, we're talking the real deal. These are the real criminals that are...
These are the real bad guys.
Yeah, cause a problem. And they cause a problem internally inside your facility, too. So we're not a state prison. We're a county jail, and we need to get them out of there.
Yeah, there's like a graduate school for crime.
Exactly.
And the other thing, too, is the state doesn't even reimburse you enough.
No, they could turn loose some funds for that, but it does make up the difference. We're losing money on that deal for sure.
If it's even $10 a day per, that's $1,000 a day for keeping these. I knew that it happened during the when COVID was huge, but I didn't realize they were still not taking them.
Still going on. We got down to, about 30 at one point. This is early on when I came into office, and man, we were almost ready to celebrate because we thought we were going to get rid of those other 30, and then they turned around and shut it down on us again, and it's been building back up. And they'll open it, but then just for a couple of days, and this will give you enough chance to get enough people out of there, then they'll close it back, and slowly the numbers just keep climbing.
Well,
because you know we're in a pandemic, right, Carl? He's not taking the bait.
Nope. That's because you heard me on the break.
Yeah, so crime is definitely...
I better go get my COVID test. I just coughed.
On the uptick there. Let me tell you this about that.
Okay, because we only got 8 minutes left. So we want to hit the... don't worry, I'll get you out of here at 8:30.
I was just going to say that... you know, I've been really impressed with our patrol staff and our major crimes unit, too, because they take the brunt. And, you know, I've said it over and over, we've been running short deputies. And I know that's frustrating for some people on some of those calls for service, but these major incidents that are going on, they're scrambling and staying overtime and making sure they're doing those cases and taking care of victims the best they can. So hats off to the men and women in law enforcement across the board, all agencies. They're struggling to keep up.
Do you go out for grants?
Oh, yeah.
From the feds and the state. Do you have somebody that kind of does that?
We do. We have a couple people. So we have one person internally in the sheriff's office that's dedicated to that, that goes after grants and looks for grants. Several people may be involved in writing different grants, but we have one person in particular that researches all the time. And I think the county's now going to where they're going to dedicate a full-time person for grants as well. They have, I think, somebody doing it kind of on a part-time basis.
I don't think that's a bad idea. If the grants are out there, it's like educational grants. There's billions go every year that people don't even apply for. Yeah, I think we ought to be applying for every grant. The only problem with a grant is
strings attached.
Well, there are strings attached, but it's also maybe only for a year or 2 years.
Yeah, and that's hard to pick up a position, based on a grant and then turn around. And if you don't get that grant again, what do you do with that position? So when I was talking about strings attached, a good example is the Office of Emergency Services, the OTS traffic grants that they give, mm-hmm. state gives. Sometimes those are so cumbersome with the requirements in those grants. Like if you're a little agency, like when I was at Anderson, it's not cost effective to even go after that grant because of all the work that has to go into supplying stats and certain number of operations staffed by a certain number of people and certain locations,
yeah.
certain times, it just becomes too cumbersome. So you really have to look at those grants and see what you're getting into before you actually pursue them and get them.
Well, people don't realize that we have the pointy edge of the sword is your officers on the road. And it gets so cumbersome that you've got the vast majority of your new hires or your hires is trying to take care of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
General Newbold just talked about that in the military.
Yeah, and you doubt that something is definitely a consideration for the administration. You have to balance that out because, our basic services, there's life, property, and constitutional rights. That's what we're trying to do. So we don't want to take away from our primary mission.
The recall was if you look at it in political terms, it was a huge success. I mean, a 12-point margin in this wasn't even close.
Nope.
It looks like the election of Tim Garmon, who's going to be on next Thursday, by the way, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. Do you expect changes? And how does that affect the sheriff's department?
Yeah, I think I do expect changes, and it affects the sheriff's department and every department within the county for sure. What those changes are going to be like, Carl, I don't even want to speculate because I don't know. I don't know the man. I haven't seen him up on the dais and how he thinks and where he wants to help take the county and what direction. So that's just a lot of anxiety with that for everybody about seeing how drastic the change may or may not be.
Okay, we've got like 3 minutes. I need to ask, are people still flocking to get their CCWs?
Yeah,
up here?
Yeah, they sure are. They sure are, and we're doing a lot better with that. I got to tell you, we're not there yet, I would say, but we are definitely doing a whole lot better with that program.
Well, here's me after complaining about it, right? I think I missed my appointment. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go back and look. It's in February. Hopefully it's... wasn't yesterday.
We'll make sure we get you in.
Yeah. Well,
we do that. We have people coming.
My CCW piece of paper is in four pieces. Four pieces now. Yeah. I still carry it, but if somebody says, "Let me see your CCW," I hand them four pieces of paper and let them put it together.
We're looking at eventually going to that credit card type of CCW.
Bless you.
There's several states that do that, and it's I think if we get the machine and once we get caught up, and that's another change that I don't want to throw in the monkey wrench right now into
the
program.
Okay. The equipment that you all have, this has to be replaced on a regular basis. Cars, just everything you're
cars,
using.
Cars, computers,
you said you're getting the drones, which I am so absolutely sold on drones to be as a force multiplier.
Yes.
And, I don't worry about your guys flying them over my backyard or things like that. You got to have some trust here. But how big a part of your budget is that? not drones, but just
equipment in general.
Yeah, I mean, it must be a percentage of each budget.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge factor, Carl, and it depends on how those things go, right? As every time you add staff, like we're talking about, we've been down, right?
Right.
So you got to add staff. Well, there's another car that has to come with that. There's uniforms that come with that. There's the ballistic vests. There's the weapons. It just goes on and on. And so there's a huge cost. And when we're talking about all the other problems that we're having with COVID, just getting vehicles and keeping up the fleet for the guys has become a cumbersome issue.
Okay. Sheriff Mike Johnson, and like I promised him, I'd turn him loose early because he's going to go promote some people in the sheriff's. Nothing better than that.
Also, for the record, Carl, we've had this talk about Linda not being here when I'm here on Wednesdays pretty regularly. I think I've only seen her once, so make sure you give her an earful.
She's probably listening right now, I'll do that because she loves coming in here, and she loves
hey, what day is it?
Just as much as you do.
She
breaks her up.
Hey, thanks again for having me. I appreciate it. As always, I'm accessible to people if you email me or call me, and certainly come through you too. And I appreciate the questions you throw forward to me too as well, Carl.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Sheriff Mike Johnson. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Northern Firearms Instruction. If you're looking for the best instruction in CCW, and it's not just CCW, but it's also rifle, tactical rifle, long-range precision shooting. Northern Firearms Instruction is your one-stop shop right there. Whether you want a private class or a regular class, they offer it all. Learn more at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for my show, North State Now, on the first Thursday of every month. We'll cover what's going on in the North State, Axiom Theater, local theater, arts, food, film, and even the latest in astrology. That's North State Now on the first Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Berks Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Berks Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Berks Construction Management.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
The Sikh Cultural Education Center and SCAR, in partnership with Shasta Lake Chiropractic in the city of Shasta Lake, are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, February 18th, from 1:30 p.m. until 6:30 p.m. at Shasta Lake Chiropractic at 4221 Shasta Dam Boulevard. All COVID-19 vaccines, including Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, will be available, including boosters. No appointment needed. California's indoor mask requirement is ending this month for those who've been vaccinated, and all Shasta County residents ages 5 and up are now eligible to receive the vaccine. Kids 5 to 11 and youths 12 to 17 must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated at this free clinic in the city of Shasta Lake and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients. Multilingual translators will also be available at this free clinic at Shasta Lake Chiropractic at 4221 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Friday, February 18th from 1:30 p.m. until 6:30 p.m.
And now back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We got open line until 8 o'clock. As we pointed out, the sheriff's on his way. I'm sure he's not exceeding the speed limit to get to the city of Shasta Lake. He's got a bunch of people to promote today, and that's great in the sheriff's office. This portion of the show brought to you by PSA2, Agency on Aging, announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program funded by the California Department of Aging. This is a no-cost program, and the mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. Find out if you qualify. Call 842-1687. They'll come to your house. They'll do an inspection, and then they'll help putting grab rails in, maybe just railings under some steps, things like that. And it's at no cost to the person that needs that if you meet all the requirements. That's the PSA2 Area Agency on Aging. Okay. Yesterday's meeting ended in a draw at the Board of Supervisors. Now, Supervisor Modi is at the National Association of Counties conference this week in Washington, D.C. It's an annual event, so that's where he was instead of being at the meeting. And that was scheduled. They didn't have a board meeting calendar, according to Mr. Modi, and I'm sure that's true. Now, there's an amendment to the COVID rules for the employees of Shasta County now that's in limbo because they have to pass it. And yesterday it ended up 2-2. Jones and Ball on one side and Comente and Rickard on the other side about this new rule. New rule, the December 22nd order, expanded on prior vaccine requirements for county employees. State employees require employees subject to the rules to receive vaccine booster shots. Now, no county employee has been fired or reprimanded due to the state COVID mask and vaccine rules. She also said the county has honored religious exemptions, noting that the employees have provided necessary documentation. The county has taken the approach of trust. The county would have worked to place non-compliant employees in other jobs. This included being considered for open positions, which they also qualify. So, that's not happening. And nothing's going to happen until the first meeting in March when Tim Garmon is sworn in. And like I said, a week from tomorrow we'll have Tim on and we'll get some ideas what he liked, which direction he'd like to see the county going. And he's going to be kind of like the kingmaker, I guess you could say. It's whichever way he votes is the way that board's going to go. So it'll be interesting. As far as vaccinations go, I was vaccinated. Linda was vaccinated. We both got our booster shots. We haven't had COVID. Doesn't mean we can't get it because, as we all know, that vaccine isn't perfect. The idea is like I hate to say this, but like a flu shot. It means if you pick it up, it'll be less less harmful to you. Now there's going to be, you know what, you can call and tell me I'm totally wrong on this, and you're not going to change my mind because I've read enough and you've read enough, and I value your opinion. However, this is what's right for me. What's right for you is something else, and I'm not imposing my wishes on you. And by the way, I've just run through one producer. I've got my other one here, Sue.
Good morning.
Did I force vaccinations on people here?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And I just did I ever give a class on vaccinations?
No.
Did I ever say you needed a religious exemption?
You did not.
Did I make you wear a mask?
No.
Okay. Did I say take care of yourself?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, Sue didn't have to agree with me on that, but that's essentially what it is. This is my business, and this is the way I believe. Okay. There's a Marine general, a three-star general, by the name of Newbolt. I knew him when he was growing up in the Marine Corps. And he has written, and he had an address, but he has written a very powerful message about our military. And he talks about the warfare dementia that people have, saying that that they've got some, based on Hollywood, an infused sense of antiseptic warfare and push-button solutions. And they're forgetting of the 1 million casualties at the Battle of the Somme in World War I, or almost 2 million in the Battle of Stalingrad. It's dangerous and potentially catastrophic, because the price for it could alter the success of the American experiment, which, of course, is democracy, and most assuredly would be paid in blood. He points out that the U.S. military has two main purposes: to deter our enemies from engaging us in warfare, and if that fails, to defeat them in combat. Deterrence is only possible if the opposing force believes it will be defeated. Respect is not good enough. Fear and certainty are required. As George Washington said, if you desire to avoid insult, we must be able to repel it. If we desire to secure peace, one of the most powerful instruments of our rising prosperity, it must be known that we are at all times ready for war. Then he goes on to talk about things that are happening in the military, like climate change being the number one enemy the military, when indeed we know that's not true. And he goes on and talks about the leadership and where loyalty is and all this. But it's a great article. His name is Greg Newbolt. And you can find it. I'm sure you can find it someplace. I'm going to put it on Facebook. And it is a long read. Not terribly long. It'll take you like 5 minutes. But Greg Newbolt was the director of operations at the Pentagon's military joint staff. And conducts an operational briefing. That was from an old picture of him. But the other side of this is there's probably many generals that feel that way, and they're on active duty, yet we don't hear from them, because to be in the military is to serve, and part of being in the military and serving is obeying your orders and following the instructions and the orders of those appointed above you. And you can argue up until that decision's made, and then you carry out those orders. So, but yet, when you're at that 3- and 4-star level, if you're not agreeing on what's going on, you've got two choices. You retire, or you speak out while you're on active duty, which frankly has more of an impact than if you wait till you retire to do it. Now, Greg Newbold has written this, like I said, this is a great article. And you could use this as a primer for our flag grade officers to say, is doing this the best for fighting a war? Terry, good morning. Hello, Terry. Terry. Okay. Goodbye, Terry. Like I said, I'm going to put this on Facebook, on Free Fire Radio, our Facebook account, so you can take a look at this. I found it very powerful. And like I said, though, if you had 3- and 4-star generals, 2-star, 1-star, saying that what we're doing here is not going in the right direction. The only problem with that is then you have an open warfare going on, of course not bloody, but you have then an open warfare within your military, which is even worse. So, and if you feel like you can't live by this or abide by this, then you get out, you retire, or you just you resign your commission. Okay, we're going to take a the phones are ringing like crazy now. We're going to take a quick break, and this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. My barbershop of choice, of course. Never had my hair cut anywhere else than Cypress Square Barbershop. They have discounts for seniors and veterans. They work on appointments only, and you can make that appointment at 244-9478. Man's last stronghold is Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Each year, millions of older adults suffers injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria, and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
They're
there's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Tomorrow, Redding Rancheria will be joining us. Trish Clark and Linda will be here. We are on from 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday, here at Free Fire Radio. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Wanted to bring something up that happened at the meeting yesterday. As everyone knows or should know, the key cards for Supervisor Baugh and Supervisor Jones were dismantled, disabled, before the January 18th meeting. And when they were disabled, there was a question Mr. Baugh had during the meeting, which was zoomed in, who disabled the cards? Who has the jurisdiction? Well, a lot of people kind of pointed to the sheriff. But the sheriff did not do that, and the sheriff does not have jurisdiction over that. I talked to Mike yesterday. The sheriff would only be able to disable an elected official's key card to get into the chambers if, in fact, there was an imminent threat of, like a bomb or something like that, some sort of imminent threat they were pretty sure of for protection of the people. And there's a lot of different blame being passed around, but the real deal is whoever gave that order, the order by probably 90% was illegal, number one. Who can give the order to disable a key card to get in the chambers? Pontes can, but that's only to the people who are employed by the county, not anyone who's elected. We brought this question forward to the Board of Supervisors, and I'm sure we're going to find out soon. But that is just some of the things, as you said, moving on, we've got to be looking at that, the budget, forensic audits, things like that, to where we really know where the money's going. But we can't just continually have people committing,
possibly illegal acts because it works against transparency and trust.
It is illegal. It's not even possible. It's an illegal act, whoever did it.
And I think starting beginning of March, there's going to be, like they say, a new sheriff in town.
There is. Okay. Few changes, I think. And again, it's the type of thing where, some people have said, well, maybe, this is just people who have alleged that a certain supervisor, who we all know, who was in Washington, D.C., gave the order to Pontes to do it. Well, if Pontes did it and then gave it to an IT guy to do it, Pontes is as much complicit, if that's the case.
If that's the case.
As whoever gave him the order. But, the thing is that we did a show on Mountaintop Media on a podcast, and you can watch it now. It's up there on mountaintopmedia.com, where we talk about exactly what happened there. Jeremy Edwards is on. He discusses what happened, what the meeting was, who was in the meeting, and the whole bit. So really and truly, a lot of things that were alleged may not necessarily be alleged at this point.
Well, we'll find out. So I got somebody right.
I want to clear the sheriff on that one because a lot of people have said that he could have done it. He didn't do it.
No.
And he was even reluctantly called back in to that.
He doesn't want to get involved. The sheriff doesn't want to get involved in that. He's got enough on his plate.
But he may have to legally. The thing is that it's not. I mean, the real deal is
well,
that there's a crime committed, you may
point.
Have to, yeah.
That's a different point. Okay, Terry, I've got somebody else waiting. Thanks, Terry.
You bet.
Okay. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning, Carl. I'm really glad that you read that letter from that 3-star. I think this is one of the biggest problems we as a country face is the politicization of our military.
Oh, yeah.
And you take this into account, what he's saying. And, when you go and you swear an oath to join the military, you're joining this hierarchy. You're volunteering to join this hierarchy whereby you are agreeing to be a part of something and your opinion about things is very much limited because it's got to fit into what the role, what the job is for the whole organization, which is, as the general put it, is quite frankly, it's like constantly being in preparation for warfare. And that's it. as a deterrent or to be proficient at warfare. And when you start throwing in all these other things, right, that starts, you know.
Yeah, I didn't even get into some of the other things you said, but and every one of them, you backed it up with some facts there. So, like I said, I'm going to put it on Facebook today. On our page, just so people want to read it, they can read it and see how
right.
a guy that's very well thought of in the Marine Corps.
Right.
And what, you know, and so I think he's just the tip of the. I think he's just the tip of the iceberg. I think there's a lot of people that feel
this. The thing I want to impart upon our civilian population with regards to this is that the irony is that this structure of the military exists so that your autonomy and your freedom and your individualization can be protective. So we give of ourselves as people in the military or as veterans, right, so that you can live a life that's unlike any other life in this world, because this is the freest nation on the planet, and the military is there to make sure that it stays that way. So that's just what I wanted to share this morning.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. And I think sure. I think you're absolutely right that, you know, the military, the Department of Defense has one mission. That's to protect this country. And if we are practicing, if it becomes a network of social programs, what's going to happen is you're going to start breaking people down. And he talks about this, breaking people down into groups again. And that's the whole – that's why you have boot camp. No matter where you come from, if you're a college-educated individual or you just barely made it through high school, but you passed the test to get in the military, the first thing that we do it in the Marine Corps is you shave everybody's head. You shave their heads and you put them in the same uniform. Why? So you all look alike. And then you tear down their thoughts from before, and you start building teams. You know, we do the manual of arms. Well, how many times do you use your manual of arms once you get out at the once you get out into the fleet? You know, you may come up to present arms, but you don't see that like you used to. I mean, it was really important in the 1700s and 1800s, you know, because they'd march into battle, they'd carry their rifles a certain way, then they'd present their rifles, then they'd aim, and then they'd fire all at one time. Close order drill is something. And the whole point of it is to teach people to obey the instructions they're getting instantly. Now, does that mean obey unlawful orders? No, of course not. And you have the right to disobey an unlawful order. Absolutely. But the idea is that you're building a military that is a cohesive unit, and the last thing you want is something that's going to divide people along lines. So, anyway, another thing that happened in the news. Remington Arms Company insurance companies agreed to a $75 million payout to the families from, I think it's nine families from Sandy Hook. If you remember in Sandy Hook in 2012, a 20-year-old killed 26 people, including 20 children, between the ages of 6 and 7 years old. And don't even bother calling me saying that. That's not true. It's, you know, don't even say that to me. Using an AR-15 made by Remington Arms. So they sued them. Now, there is a law that says you can't sue firearms manufacturers for people using their guns illegally. It's, you know, and I can go into that, too. It's like, you know, suing Ford because your car is used in a bank robbery. It just isn't, you know. It's not the gun. Let's just go through that. We all know that's not the gun. But what they said is they contended that Remington violated Connecticut law and fair trade practices by promoting illegal behavior, specifically marketing their firearms to violence-prone young men. And that strategy was considered groundbreaking since it appeared to circumvent the long-standing law known as the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms, which protects firearm manufacturers from litigation. Driven by profit goals set by parent company, Remington changed its previously sober approach to marketing firearms and favor an aggressive multimedia campaign that placed sales of AR-15s through product placement and first-person shooting videotapes and by touting the AR-15's effectiveness as a killing machine. Well, and I hate to say this to anybody, but any firearm, you could, I guess you could describe it as a killing machine. You could, you know, I mean, we have these laws against the, quote, assault weapons here, and yet one of the finest battle rifles ever made in the world, the M1 Garand, which shoots, which is a semi-automatic, shoots 8 rounds, been in combat all through World War II, into Korea, and in some places in Vietnam, is a very effective weapon of war. It doesn't fall under any of the rules for, quote, assault weapons in California or anywhere else. Why? Doesn't have, you know, it doesn't look dangerous. It just looks like a rifle. So, okay. The idea of what's happening starting next month, I'm just really looking forward to having Tim on and talking about what his viewpoint is. You know, there was an article, and, you know, they were trying to tie him to the militia, and Tim says, I don't even own any camouflage clothes. I'm not sure. He said, I've never been to a militia meeting. I'm not even sure I know people in the militia. Well, you do, Tim. I mean, everybody knows people in the militia. You may not hang out with them, but how can you not know? I mean, there's a number of people that are in the militia, family men, family women, business owners, all those things. So the militia is here, but it's not the overthrowing revolutionary types that people outside Shasta County tried to paint those people. They used their constitutional rights, they and many, many, many other people, to have a recall. And it was successful. So now, let's see what happens. Everybody have a great day, and remember, it is the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.